Would you turn to Romans chapter 16? He read about a girl named Phoebe, and that's who I'm going to preach about. Can we pray together? I feel overwhelmed, and I just want to thank the Lord a little bit more. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you tonight. We praise you, Lord, that for the past 10 years you've blessed my wife and I and my children with such a church home as this, with people that we count as better than friends. They're our family. And I just wanted to praise you, Lord, that I don't deserve the people or the ministry that you've granted in our lives, but we just praise you for them. We praise you for what they've been to us and what they've meant to us. And I just wanted to give you thanks for that, Lord Jesus. I pray now as we open your word that you would anoint me again for the preaching of your word. And Lord, may we leave here tonight rejoicing in our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 16 is the conclusion of the book, as Pastor said. And Paul does mention a lot of people. He mentions, I think I counted 27. 27 people he named by name. And it's interesting that in other books he hardly mentioned anybody, but in this one he felt the need to write some people by name. And I think these people he had counted as fellow laborers in the gospel because he said so. And I think he accounted most of these people, I would say, as friends. And I think he would imply by this chapter that friends are a blessing. Would you say that? Friends are a blessing. And the Bible mentions many friends, pairs, you know, teams. The scripture mentions Moses and Joshua. Don't you love to read about that friendship? Moses was the leader and Joshua was his servant and eventually became the leader in Moses' place. Don't you love to read about David and Jonathan and the love that they had that was greater than the love of a woman? The Bible says they were so close together. Ruth and Naomi. Ruth would not leave Naomi because she loved her. Where you go, I'll go. Where you, what, you know, what God you serve, I serve. I'm not going back to my mother's house, but I'm staying with you. And even Paul and Luke in the book of Acts, how that Luke came and was with Paul and stayed with Paul. In Christ, in all that we do in Christ, and the work that's involved and, you know, it's a heart thing, isn't it? I mean, when you do something for Jesus Christ, you just do it with all of your heart. Because it's so important. When you serve the Lord Jesus, it's not something you take very lightly, but it's something that weighs on you and weighs on you. So the people naturally that are involved in your life when you're doing something that's so important to you and it's so important to them, you really do join together, don't you? And it binds you as closer than friends. Amen? So let me get to Phoebe. I'm going to entitle this message today as "What Service?" with an exclamation point. Because I thought about this girl named Phoebe, and I thought about all the people that Paul could have written to and included, like Pastor was saying, in the end of this book, all of the friends that he had, all of the people he had worked with in the gospel, all of these people that he could have named, and he named several, but Paul had hundreds of co-workers in the gospel of Christ. And I wonder what it was about this girl, Phoebe, that he thought to include her at the beginning of the list. Wouldn't you say that if he uses words like "I commend unto you," he's talking to the Romans, right? But I think he's speaking to the guy that's writing the Roman, the letter for him, and he says, "Write this." Now, let me remind you that every scripture, all scripture, is given by inspiration of God, including this passage. I kind of think that Phoebe could have been sitting in the room while he's wrapping up the letter. I don't know. But scholars believe that Phoebe is the one that takes this letter to the church at Rome. Okay? So she's an important gal, and I'm going to prove that in just a minute. But I think Phoebe even could have been sitting there, and he says, you know, I've got one more chapter. Writer, write this. I commend unto you Phoebe. And I can imagine Phoebe, with her heart that we learned from two verses of Scripture, would have said, you know, Paul, excuse me, don't put my name in there. Thank you for thinking of me. But what I do is inconsequential. What I do is so small. And you've written a book about the universe, you know, universal sin. And you've written a book about righteousness through faith. And you've written a book about justification and sanctification and all of that. And what am I to be named amongst the doctrines of the New Testament and the teachings of the apostles? And I can imagine Paul would have said, what you've done for Jesus Christ is serve him, and that is what God has laid on my heart to write in his word about you, that your servant, your service is noted by God, and I commend you, hallelujah, for serving him the way you have. And may others all throughout the ages, as they read of sin and righteousness and salvation, when they get to the end of the book, read about a woman who was so faithful in her service that God thought it important to write two verses commending her service. Write it down, Paul. So I think Paul would have said, I'm writing this. It's going to encourage believers that their service is important. And I wanted to encourage the church. Your service to Jesus Christ is important. And if you think it's small or consequential in the grand scheme of the doctrinal issues of Christ, you know this, that what you do for Jesus Christ lasts. What you do for Jesus Christ matters. You know, all that you've served and all you've done, it impresses the heart of God when people come and they serve him. That's his desire, isn't it? I read in Mark chapter 10 how the Lord Jesus, even when he was confronted, or kind of, I picture it like he was taken off aside by the sons of thunder, James and John. And they say, hey, Lord Jesus, we want you to give us anything we ask. And Jesus says, well, what is it you want? And they said, well, we want to sit one on the right hand and one on the left hand in your kingdom. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you really drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And they said, well, yes, we are able. And he said, truly, you will drink the cup that I'm going to drink from. And you will, in other words, that you will suffer in my name. But to sit on the right hand and the left is for the Father to point out. It's not for me to grant. But then he pulls all the disciples, because they were mad at the sons of thunder, displeased at what they were saying. Said, us, we want to be highly esteemed in your kingdom. Jesus said this. He says, you know, the Gentile leaders, they kind of, you know, they rule hard over their people. And in my own words, their boast is in their authority. But he said, may it not be so among you. He said, if you want to be great, serve people. You want to be great? Be a servant. Because look at me as an example, Jesus said. Even the Son of Man came forth not to be served, but to serve. Phoebe followed Jesus' example. Let's look at her life real quick. In verse 1, we get only two verses. This is all we get in all of the Scripture about a girl who served Jesus Christ. Verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, Paul writes, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For she has been a succorer of many. I mean, she helped many people, and me also. And then he goes on, that's all we get. You know what he said? He said that this girl was a sister. He didn't mean that they had the same mom or dad. He meant that she had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ along the line somewhere. Somewhere along the line, she had heard that Jesus is the chosen Messiah, that he had been crucified, the Son of God, on a cross. Maybe as Paul wrote this, she was moved and remembered her salvation story, that it is by the blood of Jesus Christ that she's been made right with God. And she became a sister in the faith. That's what you and I are, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. See, the church of God, God made it this way. Aren't you glad? He could have made followers that are at odds against each other, but no. The Lord Jesus said, my church is my, I've adopted them into one family. They are a body. They are a part of one and another. Aren't you glad that is the way the Bible writes it? I'm glad that God said, my family is going to be a united family. Those that come to me are going to serve me in you. And they're going to complement each other, and they're together going to be such a force to be reckoned with, because they are brothers and sisters in the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, hallelujah to the Lord for that, because the church is his design. He could have made the salvation in the church in any way that he wanted to, but the church he designed to be a close-knit, united family. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Her name meant brilliant or radiant. I kind of think she probably had a brilliant and radiant personality after she met Christ. I kind of think that she was one who was a crooked businesswoman, but now is a converted businesswoman. She was there to do business. It's possible that she was going to Rome on a business trip. It's possible. You know, I started thinking that I wish we would have had a little bit more, because I know that Phoebe once did what was wrong in the eyes of God, but now has been redeemed into a woman who does what's right in the eyes of God. She maybe went from being a cheat to being an honest woman that dealt with people according to the scripture and according to the apostles' teaching. Here's what I thought. You know what we need? We need men and women, businessmen and women, to serve the Lord in their business. Right? We need cheats to be converted. Right? We need those that lie to tell the truth, because they've been born again in Jesus Christ. You know what I think that is? That's a witness to our Savior. When in the world, in the secular world, we stand for what's right. It's a witness to Christ when God's people do what's right in their eyes. It is. Phoebe was a converted businesswoman, a sister in the Lord. He said that it is possible here that she carried the book of Romans. Can you imagine? Now, of all of the New Testament scripture, the book of Romans has got to be one of my favorites. It has to be. If I had to choose a couple of books, you know, I've thought of this often. If the Bible became illegal and I could only keep just a few pages, among the pages that I would keep for myself and hide and read and reread would be the pages of the book of Romans. There's so much in it that's important to the New Testament church. There's so much in it about doctrine. You know, there's not a lot of history in it, but there's so much in it about what we believe and why we believe. Such a precious book. Wouldn't you agree? It's such a precious. Think about this, Romans 3:23. Phoebe, would you please take this message? That all have sinned. Take this message. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I'm leaving it up to you that you take this message to the church at Rome and you remind them that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can you imagine being handed that? Or being handed that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Take these words to the Roman church. Can you imagine Romans 5:8 being inside that letter, saying that, you know, that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Can you imagine? Here, take this message. How would you hold something that precious? Take this message that salvation is nigh thee, and even in your heart, that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Take it to the Romans. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they hear without a preacher, right? Take these words to Romans. Wow. She carried these words to the church. By the way, we still have it, so it made it. She did what she's supposed to do. Inconsequential, maybe. But we have this precious book because it was put in her hands by the Apostle Paul, and she gave it to Rome. I wonder even if she explained it a little. All I know is that's a precious thing to be given. And I thought, you know, we've been given the same thing. We've been given the same words. We don't take physical scrolls to people up the street, but we take the very same message, right? With the very same authority, anointed with the very same spirit, to the very same lost world. We do. We've been given a commission like Phoebe. Let us be that faithful that we take these words and we say, oh, this is so precious. I've got to deliver it to my coworker. Or I've got to deliver it to my lost friend or neighbor. She delivered the teachings of the New Testament as she was supposed to do. The Bible says that Paul called her a servant. This just means a dedicated helper. That's all the church needs. You know what I was thinking? God blesses servants. Do you agree? He blesses people that are devoted to Him. He blesses people that say, I'm going to make it a priority in my life to follow the Lord Jesus with all my heart. God's hand is on people like that. I wrote something down. I didn't want to miss it. I'm skipping my notes. The book of Daniel said that when Daniel was taken and cast into the lion's den, do you remember this? He refused to stop praying when the decree came out that he should stop praying, but yet he still prayed, right? They couldn't catch him in anything wrong, except for in his service to God. So they took Daniel, and the warning was, if you seek anyone else besides the king during those days, that you would be cast into the lion's den, right? But Daniel, a faithful man, continued in his service to the Lord. So just as the decree said, he was taken and thrown into the lion's den. This is the part I want to get to. All night long, the king who fancied Daniel and was kind of tricked into the decree worried. All night long until finally, early in the morning, the king ran to the den of lions and said, Daniel, listen, Daniel, was the God that you continually serve. I like how he put that. Able to deliver you. You are the servant of the living God, and was the God that you continually serve able to deliver you from the lion's den? Then what did he say? My God has shut the mouths of the lions, and I am just fine because God blesses his servants. You know what that makes me want to do? Pray when people tell me not to pray. Amen. That makes me want to serve God continually. Serve God on the good days and serve God in the bad days. Why? Because He blesses His servants. He notices those that are devoted to being His servants. Praise the Lord. I want it to be written of me in my two verses of my entire life that He was a servant of the Lord. Amen. May that be the desire of the church. That there may be nothing else said except for they were a brother or sister in Christ. They had been saved. That they were handling the word of God and delivering it. And that they were servants. Hallelujah. They were servants. They were devoted. They prayed. They took God's word and they cherished that. And they served and they worshiped and they served. There's a little bit more about Phoebe. I'm almost done. God blesses His servants. You know, on the gospel team, there's always room for a servant. There's never too many. There's never, you know, you never too many volunteers to serve. We need servants. Servants were used in the scriptures as examples. Servants were used in the scriptures as heroes. And Jesus said the pathway to being great is through serving. Jesus said the sacrifice of yourself to serve other people was how to be great. Now, let's look at one more thing he said about Phoebe. I love this. I hope you're getting something from this. So he said, I commend Phoebe to you. She's my sister in Christ. She's a servant of the church. Some say that that word could have even meant deaconess. I don't know if she had an official office in the church, but what I know is she was devoted to the gospel so much that Paul recognized her. And I notice in verse 2 that he says that you receive her in the Lord as become saints, and that ye assist her or help her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for she has been a helper of many and myself also. You know what I think Paul said? You want this girl in your church. When she gets there, you treat her like a saint because she's going to be an asset to your congregation. She's a helper. Can you imagine that? Pastor gets a letter from the pastor that somebody's coming from their church, and the other pastor that's sending one of his members because they're moving or whatever, and pastor opens the letter, and the letter says, this gal is a sister in Christ. She is a servant of the Lord. And oh, you better receive her because she's a good one. You want her in your midst because she's been a help to everybody here, and she's going to be a helper to you because she's helped me. She's a helper. She's an asset. She'll be a blessing. Listen, people that help are people that bless. Would you agree with that? Helpers are blessings. She's going to be a blessing to everybody she's around. She has a heart to help people. And if you have a heart to help people, you can't have a heart to hurt people. You have a heart to help people. She had a heart to help. In other words, Paul was saying, I'm sending her and I want you to trust her because I trust her. I've watched her life and her life has been a help and a service. And I send my name with her that she's a great helper. And because she's been such a great helper, I want you to help her. Can I tell you that we reap what we sow in the ministry, don't we? In our Christian lives. If you sow help, you'll get help. If you sow friendliness, you'll have friends. If you sow love, you'll be loved, right? I think that's something good we can learn in the scripture. So I took a look at Phoebe's life and I said, wow, what service. I asked Levi, who's my Bible scholar in my home. He knows the scripture, right? And he's proud of it. And I said, Levi, do you know a girl named Phoebe? I've heard the name, but I don't know. You know, he didn't know for sure. This girl is not in all the children's Bible books. This girl is not the topic of a lot of sermons. But let me tell you something. She was an example in her life, and that's what I want to be. I want to be a servant. I want to handle the Word of God. Would you all stand and let's pray together? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Lord Jesus, I believe we've got a whole church full of helpers. I believe we've got men and women in here because I've seen it. That they take seriously their call to be Christians and their call to spread the Word of God. I've seen people in this congregation tonight that volunteer and they make it a habit that when pastor needs something or the church needs something, that they make themselves available. And they would be the same people that if they were to leave the church or if they were to go do something, that pastor and their brothers and sisters in Christ would write the same commendation. That boy, they've been a help. Boy, they've been good. They have been faithful. Lord Jesus, I pray that that would be what would be called for the centuries for Unity Free Will Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, your blessing. I pray that you would remind the people that every little thing we do for Christ is important. And I ask your blessing on the church. I pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.